got your Bibles, turn with me tonight for a while to the book of St. John, the 11th chapter. Very familiar verse of reading here, starting at the first verse. Praise God. St. John 11, reading at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. At this time, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me for the Lord's will to be done in this part of the service tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you, Lord, give you the praise for this service thus far. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful spirit that we felt in our midst, Lord. But, oh, God, Lord, we ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, to anoint thy word, Lord. Lord, anoint thy servant's lips, Lord. God, you know the needs of the people. Lord, each and every individual within the sound of our voice, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we give it all to thee in Jesus' wonderful, sweet name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, is supposedly to have been written by King Solomon, the wisest man in all the world. And it says in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, in the 2nd verse, it says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, as is a good, so is a sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And madness is in the heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now in other words, Solomon here was telling us it doesn't matter how good a life we may live. It doesn't matter if you was back underneath the law in this dispensation, if you offered your sacrifices, or if you was just an unbeliever and you didn't offer a sacrifice. It didn't matter if you was good. It didn't matter if you was evil. There was still one event that happeneth unto them all, and that was that they were going to the dead. He said, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. You said, I was beginning to think when Brother Franks was up here and was talking about how he missed home and how as the months began to drag on by, how he began to call more frequently to hear the voice of his loved ones back at home. And I begin to think there's something that's very beautiful and very precious that sets us aside from the animals of the earth. And not only has man been given a soul that's different from any other creature, but you see, we've also got something that controls our emotions, and that is our memory. You see what? You can begin to think about something sad, and pretty soon it's easy to begin to feel the tears as they begin to well up in your eyes, and you begin to feel them trickle down your face. You can begin to think of something that was joyous in your life or something that was a happy occasion. And you can be sitting in a classroom at school, or you can even be on the job. And as this thought passes through your memory, you begin to smile to yourself. Why? Because your memory plays a very important in the emotions of each and every one of our lives tonight. Praise God. But you see what? There's something about the memory. I got a call from my mother today. I happened to walk in on my lunch, and And she was talking to the wife, and she began to tell me something that happened to my father. It seemed like my daddy's been suffering with, the doctors just call it colon spasms. There's times that he's hit with these things. I've seen him double up. I've seen him walk. I've seen him sit down. I've seen him bend over a stool. I've seen him doing everything he could do to try to get relief from these pains. And I didn't know what in the world to expect because, you know, there's different times. Your dad doesn't cry in front of you as a young man. And there's different times you don't see your father ever show any emotion whatsoever. But whenever these things would hit my father, he didn't care who was around. He began to show some sort of emotion. And she told me, Sister Ray, says, I know it sounds hard to believe. But she says the other night, says Thursday night, says your father had another one of these spells. Says he went and he sat down and says he fell over. Says I run in there to him and I called him by name and he laid there motionless. She said, DeRay, I bent down, I picked him up, and I braced his back up against the back of the chair, the seat there. And she said, DeRay, I know you don't believe it, but your father was as dead as a dead man I've ever seen. She has worked in the hospital for 15 years experience behind her. She used to be the one that they call in. She was a nurse's aide. They always did the dirty work. But whenever there's a dead person, she was always the one to wrap them in the plastic cellophane and to tag their toe and to wait for the coroner or the whoever to come and pick them up and haul them to the morgue. And she was familiar with what death looked like. And she said, DeRay, says he was as yellow could be. Said his mouth had already drawn and his eyes had already set in his head. Said, I knew then that your dad was gone. Says, I called for Robin. I couldn't reach a telephone. All I could do was stand there and hold your father against that chair. She said, when it seemed like everything else was over, she said, I began to pray and I prayed and I prayed. And she said, pretty soon, says Robin come in the room. Says, we begin to pray. And said, we begin to feel the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost. And says, your father began to sit up and he began to make motions all on his own. Hallelujah. I'm not saying my dad died and God brought him back. But I'm saying, friend, you don't know how many times we come close to death in our everyday life that the saving hand of the Lord keeps us from it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Death is not a respecter of persons. He comes to the young as well as he comes to the old. That's why a lot of times I believe, that's why Solomon wrote, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right. He said, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But just what I'm preaching tonight about memories, there's something beautiful about my memory. There's times even now that I can get homesick and I give anything to be back at home where it seems like I belong. We all think we belong at home. But you know, there's different days that I'll be going about my routine. I'll think about home. I can relate to what Brother Franks was saying tonight. Because there's times whenever my memories go back to different occasions with my family. And things that begin to come forth into me. You see, things that matter to me in my life may not matter to you in yours. And there's different things in your life that doesn't stand out to me whatsoever. But that's the importance of our memory. But just as Solomon said that, listen, he said, for where they go, he said, the memory of them is forgotten. He said, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now, Jesus had a very good friend by the name of Lazarus. You saw Lazarus and his two sisters lived at Bethany, which was a little city just outside of Jerusalem. And it seemed that like a lot of times on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus and his apostles would stop in and Lazarus would always give them room and board and he'd furnish them a place to stay. And these were sweet memories in the mind of Jesus because he always knew that if the hour was drawn late and he needed a place to lay down his head and needed a meal, and they always knew they could stop by and Lazarus would take them in and feed them and give them a good place of lodging and send them on their merry way the next day. And you saw one day we see where Lazarus began to fall sick. We don't know what this sickness was. It's not recorded. There's been different theologians that's come up with their different ideas what it was. Some says he started hemorrhaging. Some said that he started to take some kind of a form of a disease that was prevalent back then. But it doesn't matter about all that. Lazarus was sick and Lazarus was going to die. Now, Mary didn't know who else to go to. Martha didn't know anybody else to go to. So they send one of their servants to go down to the house and to the city looking for Jesus. And I begin to think so many times whenever troubles come our way, if only we'd realize that we can't do it. If only we realize that there's a lot of times our loved ones can't do it. And we get down on our knees and we send for the messengers of God seeking for the throne of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you do it, we know the story. We know how Jesus was told to come quickly because Lazarus was going to die. We know how where I read to you tonight from the passage of Scripture that Jesus waited 2 days in the same place, and then he told his men, says, we're going to go unto Judea and wake Lazarus. And we understand that they did not understand what was taking place. They thought, Lord, if Lazarus is just asleep, let him wake up on his own. Jesus said, not so, says, but I've got to tell you, Lazarus is dead. And they still couldn't understand what Jesus was getting ready to do. But I can see the small possession as they make their way down to Bethany, into the country of Judea, and no doubt they begin to draw very close into the house. You see, in this period of time, Lazarus has done passed away. They've done taken him out to the old graveyard, and they've done put him in the tomb, and they've done sealed it up. And it looks like everything's over with. There's no reason for Jesus to come now unless he just wants to be with the family and through this period and this time of mourning. Amen. But you see what? It wasn't 12 for long until, as Martha was sitting by the gate, somebody began to whisper in her ear, says, Martha, Jesus is coming. And you see, Martha realized that there was nothing she could do. So she got up out of the house and she made her way unto Jesus. And she began to tell his master, says, I just know that if you hadn't been here, that my brother Lazarus would not have died, but he could still be alive today. You see, these people, they heard the stories about the cripple healed. They heard about the water being turned into wine. They heard about the blinded man's eyes being opened, being able to see again. That's why they knew that Jesus was capable of healing Lazarus of this sickness. But you know what? I love the words that Jesus told her. He said, Martha, he said, thy brother shall rise again. You know what? Martha was a very devout Jew. She was taught that there was going to be a resurrection. She began to tell him, says, yes, Lord. She says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But you see, a lot of times, even though we suck with Jesus, even though we walk with Jesus, even though we even talk with Jesus, we still do not realize the power that Jesus has. You see, Martha was a good friend of Jesus, but she didn't realize who he was in the fullness thereof. But you see, Jesus told her, said, Martha, he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? All of a sudden, Martha began to see Jesus in a different light. She began to realize that he was more than just the mere mortal man that she took him to be. She believed deep down inside that he might have been the Son of God. But all of a sudden it really dawned upon her that he was the Christ. She said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And you see, whenever you first believe, that's when Jesus can begin to work. Now, Jesus could have done another thing here if Martha hadn't realized exactly who he was. And you said before God can move in your life, in my life, we've got to realize exactly who he is. Praise God. That's why a lot of times we don't receive our healing. That's why a lot of times we don't receive the answer to our prayers, because we don't realize who we're dealing with. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see what I can see. The homeowners sitting around and just taking it easy. You see, these guys, they got paid for this kind of work. This is the way they made their living. Whenever there was somebody that passed away in the city, they called for the mourners. And the mourners come down there and they begin to sit around and they'd mourn. They just boo-hoo and carry on with everybody else. And let me tell you, you can walk into a house and you can have a victory and you can walk in there and Sister So-and-so, I'll begin to tell you about Brother So-and-so, or she'll begin to tell you about how Sister So-and-so has been mistreating her, and pretty soon you join the house of the mourners. You begin to sit around, your victory is gone, and you begin to mourn. Hallelujah. But let me tell you what, whenever Jesus comes around the mourners had to quit the mourning. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I feel good anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? I'm trying to tell you, it's time we get up off our little penny ante sales. It's time we begin to forget about what Brother So-and-so said about me. It's time to forget about that Sister So-and-so doesn't like me and doesn't care for who I am. Friend, Jesus did not work with a bunch of mourners. He works with the living. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's why whenever Jesus began to come close, somebody told Mary, "Since the Master cometh, you better go meet him." Boy, she got up off her seat real quick and went to meet him too. Now, you tell these mourners, they thought they was all going down to the grave to mourn. They thought, "We better go. We better get on in there and do a good job, because if they like us, whenever somebody passes away in the next family, they're going to refer this bunch of mourners to them, and we're going to stay in that employment line. We don't have to go down and get unemployment. Praise God. Yeah. Yes, we're going to do a good job today." Now, you see how Jesus began to make his way to the city of the dead. As he began to come down that little hillside into the place where they laid Lazarus, I believe, friend, that the mourners began to join their possession. I believe people from the city began to join their possession. Everybody was going to go see what was getting ready to take place. And I believe that whenever Jesus got to where he was going, and the Bible tells me that whenever Jesus saw the weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he said that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now you see what? We see where Jesus looks at her and says, "Hey," says, "Martha, where have you laid him?" She told him, "Master," says, "he's right over there." And all of a sudden, we read the very familiar scripture, St. John 11:35, where Jesus wept. The Jews thought that Jesus was weeping because he loved Lazarus so. But oh, friend, I want you to realize that Jesus knew who he was. He knew the power that his Father possessed through him. Praise God. You see what I can see? As he stood there and he began to face that congregation of unbelievers, ain't no wonder God began to weep. I begin to think, Lord, how many times do you walk into our services when we've got a spirit of unbelief in our midst? And how many times you stand and you begin to weep over that service? You said God cannot move where there's unbelief. But there has to be faith in God. But where God can move and generate the power that He wants to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I believe there was some remembering going on. I believe when Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, his mind began to go back to those times that Lazarus took him in. I believe there was times that he probably began to think about the beautiful meal that Lazarus prepared for him and his followers. I believe there was times that Jesus began to think about how Lazarus would sit with attentive ears, listen to every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Lazarus was taking all of this in. But you see, Jesus was remembering all of this. But old friend, Lazarus did not remember anything, because Lazarus had done gone to the dead, and all memory is forgotten in death tonight. Praise God. I believe whenever death calls your name, friend, that's it. I believe just like the Word of God says, even so shall a tree fall, so shall it lay. If it falls to the north, it stays to the north. If it falls to the south, it stays to the south. There's no changing it then. There's so many times people say, "Oh, it's all right, my grandmother was so-and-so, I'm going to be so-and-so." And old friend, you don't have to fall in the same pattern that your grandmother fell in. You can begin to grow your roots deep in the freshness and the newness of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I believe at this time the old mourners quit their mourning. I believe at this time that if there was a bird around for a mile, He quit singing. I believe at this time, if there was a breeze that was blowing across that congregation, I believe that the breeze quit blowing. I believe all heaven stood in awe because the Master, the Giver of life, the Creator of the universe, was standing in their midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you ever come to a Pentecostal service and you begin to feel a great move of the Holy Ghost? And there's been times I walked into a service kind of late, and all of a sudden the power of God would already be moving over the congregation. And there's times I just have to stop and stand still for the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And I believe that through this time period here, I believe that there wasn't even talking going on. I believe the children were silent for once because something was getting ready to take place.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Jesus saw Martha, says, Martha, He says, take ye away the stone. Martha says, Lord, she is making an excuse. Said, Lord, my brother Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. Do you realize how embarrassing it would be to the family to take away that stone off that grave? You just imagine it today. If we'd already buried somebody and they'd been buried for 4 days, some man comes up and says, dig them up. Says, I want you to dig them up and put the casket out here. You think what you'd feel like. Hey, now wait a minute. We can't do that. They've been buried 4 days. They've been laid to rest, barely the dead alone. Hey, no wonder God told that man, He said, let the dead bury the dead. Praise God. It's time we quit worrying about things, saints. And we begin to realize God's got something in store for us. He's got something beautiful on down the road. If only we'd let Him have it and let Him take control. But you said all of a sudden Martha began to realize that here was a chance that she prayed for. God was getting ready to do something for her. And she gave orders, take away the stone. Whatever this man says, you do it, take it away. Now Jesus did not have to pray. Because He was God manifested in the flesh. But you know, before He did any great work, He always left an example. And He began to pray. He even tells us why He prayed. He said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. In other words, Lord, I know who I am. Lord, I know what I'm doing. But Lord, for it to be manifested unto these people, I want You to show forth my example unto them. Hallelujah. That's why a lot of times, whenever the Spirit of God begins to move, we know what's getting ready to take place, but yet we still got His example to follow. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to get going here. We're getting ready to get this man up. Yes, sir. You see what he's been dead for 4 days. Yeah. He's laid there long enough. It's time to do something about him. Yeah. Now, I want you to remember, Lazarus wasn't having any memories. His memory was forgotten. He died the same way that he was whenever he was living. If he is right before God when he died, he was still right before God. If he was unjust before God, he was getting ready to be rose up unjust. But I don't believe there's going to be any raising of the unjust. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, whenever Jesus began to get through praying, and he began to face that old tomb, I believe today that if Jesus hadn't called him by a certain name, I believe every dead person in that cemetery would have rose up out of that ground. And I believe that's why it's important for baptism in Jesus' name today. Because someday, whenever God calls us by name, it's only going to be those that's called by the name of Jesus that's going to come forth. You said if you've got the name, you're going to be called. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I can sing the Word of God says that He didn't speak with a soft voice. But he cried with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus! He said, come forth. Friend, let me tell you, a man who was dead for 4 days, all of a sudden he felt the Spirit of God move upon his body. All of a sudden he began to feel something take place like he never felt before. He began to rise up off that old cold piece of stone. He began to make his way toward the entrance to the tomb. It's still a mystery to me. How a man that is bound from head to foot can get up and come forth. But friend, let me tell you what. Whenever you repent of your sins
You begin to die to the same in this world.
And whenever you're baptized in the loving name of Jesus Christ, you are buried and put away. But, oh, let me tell you what. Whenever you're raised up out of the tank, you're raised up in the newness of life. You're not the same person you was whenever you went to the grave. God has called you forth for a purpose. Hallelujah.
I want you to see.
I believe. Oh, they didn't know what the Holy Ghost was then like we know today. But friend, Lazarus probably felt a quickening spirit within him that someday I'm going to feel within me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? Jesus didn't leave him standing there. That's what's wrong today. We've got so many people that profess to have something and still possess the worldly things that they had before they come to the grave. And you see what? I want you to realize in the 44th verse of the scripture, he says, "And he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin." He was all wrapped up in the things of the world. But you said Jesus knew that he couldn't leave him like that. And he spoke the words to the men around him. He said, "Loose him and let him go." Oh, friend, what am I trying to say? Whenever you raise up in the newness of life, Jesus tells every demon in hell, "Loose him!" Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Oh, loose him! And let him go. You don't belong to the world, young people. You don't belong to the things that you used to do. You've had them old grave clothes taken off and cast aside. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't no wonder he said he'd call us forth into a new generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I can see Lazarus. He was bound hand and foot. Oh, friend, whenever they took them grave clothes off of him, he worshiped and praised God just the way you just now did here in this service tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, you talking about a beautiful time. And oh, what are you saying, beloved? I'm saying, young people, I want you to go back to your memory the night you got the Holy Ghost. Think where God brought you from. Oh, that's why I love this song. This sheep choir sings, "Look how far God has brought us from." Oh, there's many times that I've still got my temptations. There's many times I've still got my trials. And when it seems like everything is coming against me, I begin to remember. I begin to think about the good things of God. And about His power. And about His empire. And oh, about the night that I received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, memories. Memories. You let me tell you, friend, the memory of them that's gone is going to be forgotten. Yet you see what? You that's been born of the Spirit. Oh, you that's been resurrected into the newness of life. When it seems like your loved ones forget all about you. Whenever it seems like your sons and your daughters forget all about you. There's somebody in heaven who hasn't forgotten you. Hallelujah. You see, that's why old Paul, whenever he was alone and in prison, I believe that's why he got out that land that night and began to write these words. He knew that death was going to claim his soul. He probably began to think about the words of Job. Job, even though he went through all those trials and temptations, he still remembered about the goodness of God. Do you know how he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." But friend, let me tell you, times really got rough for Job. But yet, even in his roughest hour, when he said, "Oh my God, have pity upon me," he began to remember this was not the end. He said, "Oh, my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul said, behold, as Sister Ruthers comes to the organ, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And all these words were not recorded when Lazarus came out of the ground, but I believe he probably said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh friend, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Praise God. John summed it up. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. Thank you, Sister Rutledge. Oh, he's the one tonight that'll come. Oh, friend, death is no respecter of persons, but neither is God. God said he come to the lost. He come to find the lost tonight. Oh, he's the one that'll come. Hallelujah.
Where could I go back to the Lord? Oh, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Oh, needing a friend, you saved me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
He's the one that'll come tonight. How about a young person? Mom, Dad, if your tree should fall tonight, how should it lie before God? Do you really feel like you're ready to go? Oh, friend, death's going to claim you just like the Spirit of God is. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, whenever you're least prepared, here's the one that'll come. Oh, Jesus is offering you an escape route. He's giving you his name, a name that he can call for. Will you come?
Could I go seeking a refuge for my soul?
Hallelujah.